about discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus in our context, in our local communities. And that was just a neat time of thinking about that. But then thinking about what's it going to look like in the church? Because maybe the way that we did things in the past, maybe it just needs to be fine-tuned a little bit. It's not that that was wrong. It's just that in this coming generation, what's it going to look like for us to follow Jesus? And so those thoughts led us to thinking is that, hey, Kyle is going to move more towards, he's going to oversee that some of our ministries and move to that. And we're going to get some guys to help us with kind of those details of ministry. Originally, we were just going to hire a student ministries director. But as we interviewed individuals, we thought is hey, maybe this could be an advanced internship program. And so we're actually calling this AIM, which means Advanced Internship for Ministry Leaders. And we hired two guys, and they actually start today. And they're going to be working with our junior high and our high school, but then they're going to be plugging into different areas of ministry, whether it's worship or whether it's kids ministry. They get to choose like three or four different areas that they get to work in over the next 2 years and just kind of test out. Both of them are sent to call to ministry. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But this is all part of kind of is where we're at as a church. And we have a ton of kids here on Wednesday nights during the school year. And Kyle needed to be two places at once, which is real possible, right? And so this is kind of our way of saying is hey, this is where we're at as a church. We're really excited to have JR and Corbin here. I want to invite JR and Corbin to come up. And these are the hot seats. So I'm working off of some questions that we talked about, but I lost them, which means, guys, anything goes. I found them, so I might stay on the sheet. But we don't do this very often, but every once in a while, we just take a part of our service to hear testimonies or to do this, an interview format, and just ask some questions. But I wanted you to get to know JR and Corbin. And I've had the opportunity to get to know these guys over a period of time. I've known Corbin before he knew that he was Corbin. And I've gotten the privilege of just being a part of some of his family members' life. So I'm going to ask them just to share a little bit this morning. And you can kind of start to get to know them. So, Corbin, since you have the microphone, tell us a little bit about where you're from.
So I'm initially from Missoula, and then my family kind of moved around a lot, so I bounced from Minnesota to North Dakota, and that's where I did the majority of my growing up, in a small town, Streator, North Dakota, about a population of 100 people.
So you're moving to the city.
I'm moving to a bigger city, yeah.
But actually, there's been a little bit of a transition. Is how did you find your way to Montana? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my grandfather was the conference superintendent for this conference. And so he, just through different transitions, he transitioned into being the president of Arrowhead Bible College for a short time. And so we kind of figured out, all my friends wanted to do that from high school. And I had no friends if they moved all away. So I decided to go with them. And so then I found myself at Bible college and then just moved down to Bozeman to expand my knowledge on the word and continued in college ministry. So not ministry, but
all right.
School.
Yep. So Corbin's been attending Montana Bible College in Bozeman for the last couple of years. And now he's transitioning to here. And so JR, tell us a little bit about where you're from.
I was born in North Carolina, lived there a little over 4 years. And then my family moved to Georgia to be closer to my dad's parents. And so I've lived there for 20 years, roughly now. And so my dad's a pastor, an associate pastor, I guess. At a church that we attend, and so. Yeah.
All right. And what brought you to Montana?
I guess we'll go the long route. The end of June of 2018, my aunt called me one Sunday night. They're from Maryland, and she was like, So we're in Montana, dropping off your cousin to counsel at this camp, and they need more male counselors. They all wear chacos. I think you'll fit in. You should come.
Okay, explain what chacos are for those that don't know.
They're like sandals with straps all over them.
All right.
You can do anything in them. And so I was like, yeah, okay. So that was Sunday night. Monday, she's still sending me the 1,000 pictures that she's taken of camp and telling me all these things. And she's talked me up to everybody there. So everybody already knows me. And she started convincing a friend from church to come too. And he was texting me and was like, oh, I think we're going to sign up and get off work, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, if he's going, I have to go because he thinks I'm going. So I applied on Tuesday. Wednesday, I was hired. Wednesday night, I had a plane ticket. Saturday, I flew over here. Sunday night, I got to camp. And Monday afternoon was Camp Velocity, and I had no clue what I was doing. And so, yeah, did that. And then a couple weeks in, Andy, the program director now, camp director now, intern director, he asked me to stay for a year. He told me I wasn't doing anything this year, so I could come. So I did the internship at the camp, and then I'm here.
Yep. And how much did you get paid last year? Because we all like to know those kinds of details.
I paid them.
We are obviously doing something wrong. One of the things about the intern program is that they get a weekly stipend, which is about enough to eat on, and maybe a few extra things. But the other thing is they're asked to sign up for a bachelor's degree program. And to study the Word of God and ministry. And so they're in the process of figuring that out right now. And that's a part we help with their education. And then they get to move into this beautiful house over on the corner that has gotten a fresh coat of paint and a little bit of carpet. And other than that, we hope that it's a great place for you to live. But so they get housing, they get some education assistance, and then they get a weekly stipend. And it's this 2 year. The goal is for it to be 2 years. We're glad that you guys signed up. Hey, tell us a little bit about how you came to know Christ. JR, since you have the microphone, just go for it.
I came to Christ and received him in my heart when I was young, and just kind of going through life and always at the church. We were homeschooled, elementary and almost all of middle school. And so we would wake up early on Wednesday mornings so that we'd be done by 9 a.m. so we could go to work with my dad and just spend all day at church and then do Wednesday night activities. And so it's just growing up in the church and then just building on that through high school and then after high school and just moving into leadership in the our youth program and building on that. And just in late middle school or early high school, some family things happened, and just learning what all happened and just dealing with forgiveness and with family members and how all that goes and how Christ forgives us for our sins and that he calls us to do the same thing and just learning how that looks like, what that looks like and how to do it and have a heart change in that area. And so that was a big learning curve for me in late high school and early out of high school. But yeah, so.
Okay. And Corbin, how did you come to put your faith in Christ?
Yeah, so kind of like JR, my father was also a pastor, and so growing up in the church, just kind of going through the motions, Sunday school, youth group, all the fun stuff, but it wasn't until, so yeah, my father was a pastor, and then my dad had a moral failure at some point in his career, and which kind of led to some brokenness within the marriage, which then led them to getting a divorce. And so once they had gotten a divorce. My life kind of fell apart. I kind of felt myself stricken by depression and anxieties and dealing with all these things in my heart, and found myself so lost and having suicidal thoughts and just kind of losing myself in the abyss of everything going on around me. And so it wasn't until then I spoke up about my what I was dealing with, and to a friend, and she just pointed me to the gospel. She was just like, hey, listen, the Lord has a plan for you, has a purpose for your life, and like, the Lord can heal and restore what has been broken and within your own heart, and it might not look the same, but God can do some amazing works in this life. And so that just was like, that was kind of how God called me to himself. And and from that point on, I was all in. And so, and the Lord has just been faithful and gracious like he always has been. So
yeah. And when did you sense the call to ministry?
Yeah, so around that same time, just kind of pursuing the Lord, we just started up a youth group ministry, and two guys from the church kind of stepped up to the bat and was kind of just teaching the word from the guidance of my father. And then there was a need for worship ministry. And so I could play guitar reasonably well. I could sing okayly. I was really bad at everything and had a big ego about it. But
ego about being bad.
No, I thought it was very good, but that was the problem, because I wasn't.
Reality came.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Lord is faithful.
And calling he can me use to the best and the worst, right?
apparently, yeah. I'm sitting here now. But in the midst of my ego, the Lord just kind of called me to that ministry, and just I fell in love with it, and just wanted to pursue that and keep pressing into that. So yeah.
Thanks, Corbin. GR, when did you sense God calling you into ministry?
Through high school, I became more involved in the youth group. And so when I graduated, it was an easy transition into leadership and just helping my youth pastor with anything that he needed on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or any trips that we did. And so over the years, people have always told me, you should be a youth pastor, and I kind of just shrugged it off and was like, no, I don't feel that I'm called that way. I like youth, and I can be a youth leader, but not a youth pastor. And so I kind of just shrugged it off, and going to camp for the internship, I felt the calling again, kind of more personally, not from other people, but from God. And just kind of was like, all right, I don't know what this is going to look like, how I'm going to do this, but I just was kind of thinking more for it. And 5 minutes before I got on an airplane to go to France, Kyle texted me and was like, hey, we have this job. We were told you might be interested. You want to talk about it? And I was like, well, give me 2 weeks to get back to the United States, and I'll text you then. And so that was at the beginning of May, and so just been talking then and just figuring it out, and I'm here now and starting this journey.
Yeah, thanks. What are like a key scripture that just helps you as you walk with Christ, you know, one of those life verses, what might that or those be?
For like, I guess long-term, good old Philippians 4:13, in beginning years is more of the sports thing. I'm big in sports. So, but then just growing up and thinking like, yeah, this is not sports, and kind of just looking into what it is and what it's saying, and where Paul is coming from, sitting in prison saying, I can sit in prison because God is with me, and just doing all that through Christ and whatever God calls you to. And then also 1 Timothy 4:12, recently, just looking into that and just not letting people it get to you if someone looks down on you because of age, and just pursuing Christ and doing what he calls you to, no matter how old you are. And for myself, not looking down on myself and comparing myself to all these spiritual leaders in my life that have been doing it for 30 years, and just what they've come to over the years, not to compare myself to that now as I'm starting, and just kind of build on my life and do my thing.
Yeah. And Corbin, how about you?
Yeah, so one of my life verses is Romans 8:18, which says, "For I consider my present sufferings not worth comparing to the glory that would be revealed in us." And that has just been such a helpful verse in my life through my battle with depression and anxieties. And really that whole passage is just such a cry for hope. And it's such an encouraging passage for me in my life. And yeah, that's really what helped me get through that difficult time in my life. So
yeah. So the next 2 years, just with this commitment to be here in Big Timber, what are you hoping to learn, or what do you want God to do?
Yeah, I pray that the Lord can just make an impact on this community, or use me in a way that can help spread the gospel, for the sake of His glory and not my own. But also, I just want to be a better leader and sit under some godly men, and just be equipped and trained for what I believe God's calling me into. So
yeah. All right. And JR, what about you? Things that you want to learn, things that you want to see God do?
Learning wise, I just want to just continue to build on the foundation that I've had all my life, and just continue to grow into more of a leadership role, bigger leadership role than what I'm used to. So that'll be a learning curve for me, but just excited to get into that, and then to just help pour into students' lives and see them grow. And as they go off and are in environments that me and Corbin or Kyle and Brian, we don't go to as much in schools and just wherever they go in life, that how God helps us pour into their lives, that they'll be able to take that to places that we necessarily might not go.
All right. So one of the things that we do as a church, and you can find this in the Bible also, is that we commission people, we lay hands on people to be a part of walking with Christ, but also doing ministry. And so in the book of Acts, it talks about Paul and Barnabas, and that that they came with this desire, this call to ministry, and the rest of the disciples saw it as, hey, yes, these two are being called to ministry in this environment, and they're going to go out from us, and so we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. And in this case, we're going to lay hands on JR and Corbin, not to go out, but to go in. And they're going out from where they were at to in here, but to come inside of the body of Christ and to work with the young people. The commitment that we have as a church is to pray for them, to walk with them. See, the crazy thing is that it's easy for us to know their names because we have one name to remember, but they have about 300 plus names to remember. And so it's going to take them a little while, and they're still trying to get acclimated to Big Timber and to get to know us. And so that's going to take probably 6 months or more, maybe even a year. And then about a year, ministry starts to click, and you're really getting to know people, and you have that next year, and then you get to leave and go to another place, or God could possibly keep one or both of them here if something were to happen there. Is we don't want to dictate to God what's going to happen, but our goal is that they can be in an environment where they can pursue their education, where they can learn ministry in this environment, and so that if God calls them to be church planters or lead pastors or children's pastors or youth pastors, whatever he calls them to, even if he calls them back into the marketplace, that they have some tools to be able to take with them wherever they go. And so that's our prayer. And so J.R. Corbin, I want to invite you to come stand here, and anyone who would like to, you can come up and you can lay hands on them, and it's kind of all of us can do this at the same time. You can do it from your seat also, but we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them, and ask for God just to lead them. And so, if you're in your seats, would you lay a spiritual hand on them, whatever that looks like. So, but let's pray for these guys. Father and Lord God, thanks for JR and Corbin, Lord. Thanks that you brought JR all the way from Georgia to Montana, first at the camp and then to here. And Father, thanks for Corbin, who really was born in Montana, and he's been with his family in North Dakota, is coming back to Montana, and is committed to be here. Father, we pray for these young men, Lord. We pray that you would just lay your protection around them, that you would encourage them in every way. Father, we pray that they would grow in their knowledge of who you are and what you've done for us, and that they would be able to pass that on to the junior high and the high school students and the other places of ministry that they might get involved in. And Father, we commission them. We send them in to do ministry, and we ask that you would just love on them and teach them and encourage them. And so, Father, we just put all of this in your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thanks, everyone. I'm going to hand it off to Kyle here in just a moment. Hey, if you could also be praying for Kyle and I, is this is a new thing for us too. To tell you the truth, I'm a little bit nervous because I take this seriously, as we really want to encourage them as we're all doing ministry together. And it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of time for us to just be intentional about praying together and being in God's word together and then doing ministry together. And with that is Kyle and I are coaching and mentoring and teaching, and we're just glad that two young guys would commit to coming here. So thanks.
It's my turn. Awesome. Something monumental happened for me today that I would like to share with you. We were sitting over here, Brian and I and Corbin and JR, and we were joking around about age, and for the first time in my life, I was on the old side of the joke and not the young side of the joke. So I thank you guys for coming. It's so good to have you here. We just had a really quick thing. I know if you're watching the clock, there's 10 minutes left, and this will only take 40, so don't worry about it. Stop watching the clock. We're getting ready to pour into our fall ministries and everything going on there with youth and a lot of things. But we've taken a season of time this summer to step back and kind of ask that question of like, what are we doing? How are we doing it? Is this really what we feel called to, or are we just kind of going? And out of that and through that trip to Exponential that we took, God's really put on our heart this idea of discipleship and what that looks like. Discipleship is not a program. I can't schedule a certain program and then all of a sudden you enter this program and come out a shiny Christian on the other side. It just doesn't work that way. It's a process of opening our hearts up to God and placing ourselves in Psalm 1. It says these trees that are planted by streams of living water. It's us putting ourselves in this place where you go, God, I want to grow, but I want to make sure like I'm seeking you and I'm seeking what you want me to seek. So in that and through some reading and studying, I've taken all of life and simplified it down to three circles. So that'll help you out. It's really simple, but this isn't a fix-all to everything, but it's a process through which we're going to start looking at ministry and our lives and our church. And this is just the beginning point to kind of evaluate how we're doing and how we can grow and keep a balanced look. So Matthew 4:19 says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You've heard that one. Good. That's a good thing. The first part of that says, follow me. So our first circle is this. Follow me is a commitment to thinking and acting the way God calls us to. And there's this thing called the Bible that he's given us that has that truth in it. So it's a commitment to the gospel, to scripture. It's a commitment to think the way Jesus tells us to and the way God directs, even if that doesn't line up with what we think, or even if that doesn't line up with what the world thinks. And it won't sometimes, right? But it's a commitment saying, I need a foundation, I need an anchor, I need something that I can commit to saying, this is truth. So the first part is follow me. It's a commitment in our head to go, okay, God, I'm committed to your ways, what you want, what you have. Okay? Follow me, and then it says, I will make you. Which is this transformation that God does in our heart. When we commit to following him, he begins to transform our heart. I can't go to you and transform your heart. I can't just read the Bible and then everything. God does an amazing work in us that I think is miraculous, right? Being made new, being set free, all this stuff. So our second circle is this. It's this challenge. God is constantly transforming our heart, but we have to be open to what he's challenging us to. We have to be constantly seeking how he's molding us. Does that make sense? So we've got to be committed to the gospel. As we do that, God's going to challenge our heart, and we've got to be seeking those challenges. And then it says, I will make you fishers of men. There's this thing that we like to say in church, and honestly, I've had this conversation a bunch of times where we try to get away from this word, but it fits. We need fellowship, and I'm not talking treats and cookies. I'm talking biblical fellowship. I think God has called us to deeper relationships than we know and that we're comfortable with, quite frankly. Like, I think he's called us to be real and to be open and to iron sharpening iron and, like, man, just being a body of Christ means more than gathering on a Sunday to sing and listen to the word and then go eat treats. It means we've committed to life. I've committed to you, and you've committed to me. We need biblical fellowship. We need biblical, God-centered fellowship. Now, here's the cool thing. When we do all these things, when we seek this out, right in the middle, there's this, I like to call it a stream. This is like the streams of living water. Right? When we commit to the gospel, when we say, God, how can I grow and challenge? And there's follow through in that. And there's people saying, hey, are you growing in that? And then when we can do life with people that are going to lift us up and encourage us and challenge us and strengthen and call us out on, you know what I mean? All of a sudden we find ourselves possibly in this area where you're like, okay, God, I want to grow here. It's like, I can't program discipleship. But we can definitely put ourselves in environments where discipleship happens, right? Where we grow and we're challenged. So, like, just a way that this could possibly work, and I don't know if I'm quite saying it right, but let's say that you're in your life, you're feeling like, man, I'm reading the Bible and I'm going to church. I just don't feel like I'm growing at all. I feel stuck. Well, maybe you're over here, right? And you need a little more challenge in your life. You need something to pull you in this area. Or you're like, man, I have lots of friends. I feel like, in you know, the friends are telling me, but I feel really distant from God. Man, maybe we need more of that gospel thought in our life. You're like, man, I'm going to church on Sunday, but I don't know, I just, prayer and devotion, man, I don't. You need that challenge in your, you know how, do you kind of see how this works? Like, if I were to ask you right now, and I'm not out loud, but in your head, like, where are you? Like, there's times in my life where I feel like I'm here. Like, man, gospel challenge, gospel challenge, gospel challenge, but I'm this island out here that's not really having people pour into me sometimes. Actually, part of the reason that we came to Big Timber was we felt this need. I was like, man, I need that in my life. That and when you have that fellowship, it pulls you more here. You know, does that kind of make sense to you a little bit? So as we look at this, this is just a way to look at life, your personal life. This is a way for us to look at ministry at the church. This is a way for us to look at church as a whole. This is just a way, maybe, and it's, I made this. This isn't like, you know, it's not like, oh, this is divine. No, this, I'll be honest. I put this together. There's flaws in it, for sure. There's flaws. You want to poke holes in it, you can do it. I guarantee it, okay? But as I look at this, I've had people come into my office and talk to me, and I've pulled this out, and I'm like, man, it really is a tool that we could use. So let me just give you a couple practical ways that you might see us try to start this. Brian mentioned we're changing some stuff with youth group. Last year at youth group, we had lots of kids, right? Tons of kids. They were hanging out. It was a good time. We spent time in the Word, right? I would say we're probably here. This was what youth group was. At the end of the year, when people said, how was youth group? Great. We have lots of kids. That was my coined answer. How are they growing? Boy, what's the fruit? Man, I hope God, you know, and God did do some great things. But I'm like, man, we've got to develop deeper relationships, and we've got to challenge these students more. So we're developing a new way of looking at it. We're 3 weeks out of a month, we're going to be really diving into small groups where we have leaders that are intentionally plugging into 5, 6, 7, 8 kids. And then once a month, we're going to have a big old fun time, right? Like we usually, and then we're going to go back. And it's going to feel like youth group, but we are going to be more intentional about trying to structure an environment that's a little more well-rounded. Does that make sense? And then we're looking at like our men's and our women's stuff. We have some women's Bible studies, and they're great. We have a men's coffee or breakfast on Tuesday, and I've heard it's good. It's earlier than I get up usually. So, but when we're looking at it, we're like, man, we can't just do another Bible study. I know that sounds bad to say. We can't just do another Bible study where we come, read some scriptures, and then go home and continue to do life. Let's try to get deeper than that. So we're going to have a men's Bible study that tries to do this a little better. Guys, it's going to be good. Or not, but it'll be what we're doing. Anyway, so, and we're going to try to challenge each other and grow together. Here's what that looks like. The men and the women are going to have Bible studies starting mid-September, where 1 week on Monday it's the women, the next week on Monday it's the men. So we'll alternate weeks, okay? When we meet, we're going to have you're going to have a small group of like 2 to 3 guys that you're being more intentional with, okay? Your little triad, however you want to call that. You're going to meet with them, and how's your week been? Connect. Then we're going to move into a large group where we watch some content and we learn together with this. Then we're going to have conversations about it that kind of brings this in a smaller group. And then we're going to go back into our triad and say, hey, what's God challenging you with? What's he doing? What is God pushing you into? How is he molding you through this? Then here's the fun part. On the week that it's off, you have a job of connecting with your group. Of not just saying, okay, see you in 2 weeks, but let's say Corbin and JR are my guys. I'm going to take them. We're going to go coffee. We're going to get lunch. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? How can we be more intentional in trying to open this up? And we think maybe by doing this, gospel is so important. Challenge is so important. But how do we create environments where they all kind of work together to help us grow and be intentional about growing in our relationship with Christ? We have some small groups that are already doing this. Without this, they're doing it. And I've heard things like one of our small groups that meets on Wednesday, I didn't ask to share this, but I'm going to. They said they took some time to intentionally share their testimony. And it created so much more depth from what I heard in their fellowship. And then instead of one person leading, they're taking turns leading. They're challenging. Okay, take the lead. You lead the study, right? And all summer, they just been trying to hang out. They still do all of, but it's created more than just a group. It's created a family. And that's what we want to be, is a family. So you're going to hear more about this as we go, but as we talk about discipleship and as we talk about doing life, we're going to kind of build off this a little bit. It might change or adjust, but this is, we just wanted you as a church to know we value growing in Christ. We value, it's the purpose, right? We want to see people become more and more and more sold out for Christ every day. We want to see people making changes in their lives and in their friends, and we want to see people coming to the Lord, and we want to see Big Timber being transformed. And it doesn't matter if it comes back to our church. We just want to see God doing something great. Amen? So that's it. I took 5 minutes longer than I was supposed to, but that's all right. So thanks. I'm going to pray, and then you're dismissed. And that's it. All right, thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are. Lord, it is humbling to think that your plan for this world includes us. It's humbling to think that you've commissioned us to go and make disciples. It's humbling to think that you've called us to be fishers of men. It's humbling to think that we are broken and we struggle, but you still love us. You still call us your children. So Lord, I pray that through this year, whatever you're doing, Lord, I pray that you would raise up people to be your hands and feet, Lord. You would help us grow to love you more, to know you more, to understand you more, but not for our purposes, our glory, but for yours, so that this community, this state, this world, Lord, could be touched and transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. So we put this church in your hands. Use us as you want. We love you. We praise your name. Amen.